You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for listening and for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg, and my usual co-host, David Ramil, not here tonight. I'm going solo after a late game as the Heat beat the Blazers 118-108. A big win to start its six-game road trip. The Heat took a 15-point lead into the fourth quarter, but Portland rallied behind a hot CJ McCollum to cut the lead to one with just under 7 minutes left. But the Heat managed to hold on thanks to big contributions from Dwayne Wade and Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside was the most impactful player in the game from start to finish. Not only did he control the paint, with the Heat outscoring the Blazers 56-42 in the paint, but he's also efficient. Whiteside had 28 points on 11 of 12 shooting. He made 6 of his 7 free throw attempts, finished with 11 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks, and committed just one turnover. And while he didn't register an assist, he was a willing passer, made good, smart passes in the flow of the offense, and you know, some players didn't convert on some shots, but otherwise he would have gotten an assist, but he wasn't an albatross. He was not a black hole in the flow of the offense. He did take one long 20-foot jumper, but Portland was sort of just giving it to him. There really wasn't a better option on offense at that point. If you watch the game, you know exactly the shot that I'm talking about. And he just drained it right in Jusuf Nurkic's face, and he completely outplayed Nurkic in the game, which is huge because Nurkic, for a long part of the season, has actually been Portland's second-best player behind Damian Lillard. McCollum is only recently sort of finding his shot and his stroke on offense. But when he's playing like this, he and that contract are among the least of the Heat's worries. I mean, Miami's got issues, right? The win notwithstanding, they've got issues on this roster, obviously. But if you go back to the playoffs last season and Whiteside with his comments after games, not getting enough playing time, just sort of being this headache in the locker room, and really not playing up to that contract, he was sort of the biggest issue for the Heat going into the offseason last summer. But that hasn't been the case over the last few weeks. He is playing, since signing that big contract, he has not played better than this. He hasn't played better than what he's playing right now. He's doing all the little things. He's diving on the ball for loose, or diving on the floor for loose balls. He's, again, efficient with his shot selection, more so than ever. You allow him those 18-footers, those mid-range little semi-jumpers, when he's playing like this. It's when he's not playing like this when you start scratching your head at those decisions and at those shot decisions. But when, again, he's an asset right now on this contract. And going, you know, he's got the player option this summer. He's going to pick that up. He's not going to pass on that. He'll be an expiring next year. Now, I don't want to, you know, look too far forward with Whiteside. And you kind of just want to, you don't want to take for granted what he's doing right now. But he's not an issue. And he's an asset right now. And if he keeps playing like this, there's a valuable place for him on this team with him and Bam Adebayo as your 1-2 punch at center there. They're kind of the most important guys in this front court right now, which is not something we could have said going into this season. I mentioned Dwayne Wade. That man was cooking tonight. Wade finished with 22 points, made big shot after big shot in the second half when Portland cut Miami's 15-point lead to one at the end of that game. Wade was instrumental in maintaining the lead and eventually getting the win. And at the end of the game, he ended up getting MVP chance from the Rose Garden as time expired. So add Portland to the list with Chicago and New York as places on the road that Wade has gotten MVP chance this season. Now, the big story going into the game was, would Eric Spoelstra tinker with the lineup? And he did. He made changes to the starting lineup. Kelly Olynyk returned to that unit. That was the latest tweak by Spo, who admitted over the last few days that he was searching for answers. Olynyk started next to Whiteside in a lineup that had previously played just 8 minutes together all season. And, well, it worked just fine. Olynyk registered a +9 in the box score. James Johnson returned to the bench, and he was Miami's ninth man behind Wade, Bam Adebayo, and Deion Waiters. And then played better in that reduced role. So we'll see if Spo sticks with that going forward. It may have been dictated by the matchup a little bit. Portland plays Al-Farouq Aminu at power forward. kind of a non-threat on offense, so you don't really need to worry so much about Kelly Olynyk's defense on that end. But Olynyk was able to space the floor more so than James Johnson is on the offensive end. That created, again, a lot more space for the Heat's offense to operate, and I think that helped Whiteside in the paint. I think it helped Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow get to the rim early and often. And everything just looked cleaner. Everything looked smoother. You didn't have James Johnson, you know, rusty James Johnson coming off of the sports hernia in that starting unit. You were able to kind of just bring him off the bench, ease him into the game. And Kelly Olynyk was able to do what he does well, which is space the floor, make good decisions, and take shots and kind of move the ball around. And that's what he did. After giving up 42 points to Damian Lillard the first time that these teams met this season, the Heat's defense was keyed in on Lillard from the get-go. Spoelstra put Josh Richardson or Justice Winslow on him for most of the night. And Lillard finished with just 13 points on 15 shots. That's way different than, you know, torching the Heat for 42 points in that last matchup. On the flip side, his backcourt partner, CJ McCollum, was the one who did get hot. He finished with 33 points. He was a big reason why Portland hung into that game at the end. But then when McCollum got really hot in that fourth quarter when Winslow was on the bench, Josh Richardson was guarding him for a big portion of that. But with Richardson bringing the ball up on offense, not being necessarily as big as a defender, CJ McCollum was able to get shots over him and make tough shots. Like, Richardson played good defense, but McCollum was still able to get just enough space to make tough shots. But then Winslow came back in after taking his fourth quarter rest. Spoelstra put Winslow on McCollum. Richardson went back to guarding Damian Lillard. And then Winslow basically just shut down McCollum for the rest of the way. He was huge on both ends of the court tonight. And as far as the standings go, the Heat needed this one. After dropping their previous three games all at home, Miami kicked off its tough six-game road trip through the West Coast with this game in Portland. And on a night that the Pistons beat the Knicks, Miami, with this win, remains a game and a half up on Detroit for the number 8th seed in the East. We're going to take some of your Twitter questions and get to the stat of the game after this break. The Locked On Podcast Network is going live with an NBA trade deadline special Thursday at 1:30 Eastern, live on YouTube on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel, hosted by David Locke and fantasy expert Josh Lloyd, plus all of the local experts of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're going to break down all the deals, give the fantasy perspective, and have the local angles on every trade. It starts Thursday, 1:30 Eastern time, 90 minutes before the trade deadline on YouTube at the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel. Again, go to YouTube, go to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball channel Thursday, 1:30 Eastern. Let's go to Twitter and answer some of the questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOE. And with the trade deadline just a day away, these questions are going to focus on the trade deadline. So this first one comes from Trey Trey. What up, Trey Trey? The Heat have enough to get Harrison Barnes and Aaron Gordon. Do anything besides staying put and trying to say that an all-star in Goran Dragic is coming back. Harrison Barnes, look, I get it. I don't know if he's the fit. I see people saying Harrison Barnes is a fit at small forward. I don't see that. I actually think Harrison Barnes, if you were to make that deal, would slot in that James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk spot next to Hassan Whiteside in the front court. That, to me, is where you play Barnes, because if you play him at that small forward spot, well, now you really only have one guard-sized guy to defend opposing guards, and most other teams still play with two or even three guards at a time. So now you're a little bit big, you're a little bit clunky on defense. I don't love that. So, look, I like Harrison Barnes as an idea. Like, he's a shot maker. He can isolate. Not totally efficient, but if you could buy low on him, maybe you're able to bring him into Miami and he's able to recapture some of that efficiency that he had in Golden State. We've talked about this before. I don't hate it. I just don't know what the price would be on Harrison Barnes. And I don't know that Dallas would be willing to take long-term contract back. It sounds like, from the reports that we're hearing, that if they are going to trade Barnes, it's going to be to get off of that salary and create more immediate cap flexibility this summer before they really start after paying guys like Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic. This might be the last summer that Dallas has to make another big splash, at least in free agency. So I don't think they're going to want to take on long-term money, and Miami doesn't really have expiring contracts to go that way. So I don't see Barnes as necessarily an option. Aaron Gordon, though, is something that is really interesting to me. And I actually texted David this earlier. Would you trade, if you're the Heat, Goran Dragic and Wayne Ellington, plus your 2019 first-round pick, for Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Simmons. I don't totally know how I feel about it. I don't know if it's enough for Orlando, even though I think that Dragic is a point guard. Wayne Ellington is some salary filler, a guy who can help them off the bench and as they continue to pursue a playoff run here in the second half of the season. And then obviously you get the 2019 first-round pick. I don't know if they're trying to sell Aaron Gordon. If they are actively looking to move him, that might be as good as a deal as that they can get. I don't know. We've heard speculation that Portland, the team that the Heat just beat, obviously, should trade CJ McCollum in a first-round pick for Aaron Gordon. That's a much better deal than Dragic Ellington in a first-round pick. So I don't know what it would take. I don't know if you're able to maybe flip Magruder or another player, if you're able to get some picks otherwise and lump them into the deal. But I think Aaron Gordon, as a prospect, actually really fits what the Heat need to do because, again, like Barnes, slides into that power forward role instead of James Johnson. Aaron Gordon could just be like better James Johnson. He does all those. He moves a lot off the ball. He can space the floor a little bit. That shot is starting to come along. The Magic currently use him at small forward. He's playing out of position there. You put him in that small ball four position. He's not necessarily small either. The guy's like 6'9", 6'10", and he's a big body who can guard those positions. You could even play him at the five in small ball situations if the Heat wanted to do that. I think he'd be a great fit. Now you pair Aaron Gordon along with Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow, Derek Jones Jr. and Bam Adebayo as sort of your young core, and you just sort of build around and on top of that. That makes a lot of sense to me. But again, I don't know if the Heat have what it takes to get it done. Kevin on Twitter pointed out that Whiteside should be easier to trade with him playing as well as he has over the last few weeks. We talked about Whiteside at the top of the show, and look, this is something that we need to consider, right? Whiteside, he probably doesn't have a long-term future in Miami. Even if he continues to play like this, the future does seem to be Bam Adebayo. I do think that what Whiteside gives you offensively, his aggression on offense, his ability to just put points up in the paint in a hurry and just kind of be a focal point on offense at times, for better or worse, lately it's been for better. That's something that Bam can't really provide for the Heat right now. And given that the Heat are so low on scoring options, especially near the rim, Whiteside is actually an extremely valuable piece for this Heat team as they, you know, make this playoff push to end the season. That said, I do wonder if there are teams out there that are looking at Whiteside. I think the unfortunate thing for him is that his reputation is still out there as locker room headache, whines too much about playing time, inefficient player, overrated defender who doesn't really impact team defense in a positive way. And that's not been the case lately. His on-off numbers, which has been kind of a black eye for him over the last several years, have actually been trending positive over the last month or so. That's actually not been an issue for him. He's made the team better when he's on the floor. Now, I don't know if that says more about the lack of talent that's been around him or his play, but it's probably a combination of the two. So yeah, I think Whiteside's trade value could be higher. I just don't know that enough teams are paying attention, number one, to the Heat in general, because they haven't been super exciting, and teams don't necessarily look at them as real sellers at this trade deadline. So I don't know that a lot of other front offices have been looking at the Heat as, you know, a means to improve their own team. And I still don't know what value a 7-footer who doesn't stretch the floor and who can't really guard on the perimeter has in today's game. I don't know if you want to pay that guy $27 million next season as well as he's played. And if you're going to trade him, I don't know who the taker is. I don't know where you're trading him. Do you trade him to a contender? I don't know. Maybe is Toronto willing to try to upgrade the Jonas Valanciunas spot behind Serge Ibaka, but do they want to play Whiteside behind Serge Ibaka? I don't know what other, like, Milwaukee, do they want to shore up the rim protection? Maybe, but they've got a really good thing going with Brook Lopez, and they're not going to want to put him on the bench as far as what Brook is able to do, spacing the floor for Giannis. I don't know what the team is. I don't know what the team is right now, and we are hearing reports and rumors that Charlotte could be involved in Marc Gasol trades, so that would take them off the table, even though we are hearing the latest on that is that those trade talks have fallen through, so maybe that's still an option, but we'll see. But after this, we'll have our stat of the game. What's up, Heat fans? We've got a special announcement. we're going to be giving away a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to a lucky fan. All you have to do is leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. Take a screenshot of both and email it to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Once we get to 115 iTunes reviews and 1,500 followers on Twitter, we'll randomly select someone to send a D-Wade World Tour t-shirt to. You get to decide the style and you get to decide the size, and we'll send it to you as a thank you for your support. Again, all you have to do is leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat and send those screenshots over to us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Once we get to 150 and 1,500, we're cutting off submissions, so do it now. A D-Wade World Tour t-shirt could be yours for free. It's time for our stat of the game.
Take that for data.
And my stat is 2 turnovers. And that's the amount of turnovers that the Heat had in the second half. After shooting 60% in the first half, the Heat took a lead into halftime, but they also committed 10 turnovers in that first half. And look, the Heat needed a different kind of efficiency in the second half to win that game, and they got that because, again, they shot 60% in the first half. We knew that that was not going to be the case in the second half. Teams don't shoot 60% if you're not the Warriors for an entire game. So seeing as Miami still managed to take a lead into halftime despite the 10 turnovers that they committed in the first two quarters, well, okay, you understand that there's going to be a regression to the mean. The Heat ended up shooting between 53 and 54% in the game. They also cut down on the turnovers in the second half. Again, just 2 turnovers. That was huge for Miami down the stretch, especially as Portland outshot them from three-point range. It was a season-low three-point attempts for the Heat in that game against Portland, but they still got the win because they played efficiently. They played good defense. They got stops when they needed to, and guys like Whiteside and Dwayne Wade stepped up when the Heat needed them. The Heat get a few days off before they play the Kings in Sacramento on Friday. But that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time. Yeah!